If we want to experience God's presence in our lives in a certain way, we need to learn how to make what is important to Him important to us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when what is on His heart becomes important to us, we will not even have to ask for certain things. He is going to go out of His way to meet our needs and even to find ways of rewarding us.
Wow.
Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because sometimes when you're even in, let's say you go to a restaurant and you find a waitress or a waiter who seems to, you know, go out of their way to make you happy, they don't often have to ask you for a good tip. Is it not the case?
True.
They don't have to ask you. In fact, if you see a waiter who asks you for a tip, you've met a very bad waiter.
Very bad, right?
Do you understand?
Yeah.
The waiters are not supposed to ask for the tip, but you see that as they continue to serve you, as they go backwards and forwards, and as they make your needs and your desires a priority for them, you seem to have your heart warm up gradually towards them and towards blessing them with something they have not even asked for, but which you know they need.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You know they need. And you know that's the reason why they left their home to come and work in this place. But they haven't even asked for it. And your heart warms up towards them and you want to be a blessing to them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Every now and then you see on the news how someone may have surprised a waiter with a tip of about $500 or a tip of about $1,000.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel so happy, I feel so touched, I feel so blessed by your service that here is something, I'm going to bless you with something way over and above what you ever even expected that I would do for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So as a church, we need to be interested in missions.
Amen.
We need to be interested in going to places and sending people to places, whatever the cost, whatever the inconvenience, because if you're going to go, it's going to cost you something.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is not easy. It is not free for anybody who is tied up and living somewhere to rise up and go to another place for the sake of preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
People have interpreted that to mean, you know, missions to mean you go when you don't have anything to do. So long as it doesn't cost you anything, you go. Now, there are not many free things in the world anymore. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so if we relieve and resign missions to only what can be done so long as it costs people nothing, then no work will be done at all.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yesterday I met someone who was asking that, you know, when you read the Bible, America is not in the Bible. You know, since when you read the Bible, see, America is more like a new place that came up later. So when Jesus said we should go into the world, America was not even formed. It was not part of it. So why do Americans feel a need to go into the world to go and preach the gospel? You know? And I thought that's a very interesting question. Hallelujah. But the truth is that it is not only Americans who are supposed to go into the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The command to go and preach the gospel to the world is a command for every Christian.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if an American reads that scripture and they act on it, they're supposed to be going.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And if the other person who lives on the other end of the world reads that scripture, they're also supposed to be coming.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everybody's supposed to, from their base, go somewhere and preach the gospel to the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is on the heart of the Lord.
Amen.
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 Who, the Bible says, does not want anybody to perish, but He wants everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God loves us and does not want anybody to perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. John 3 and verse 16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He so loved the world that he didn't mind losing his only begotten son, so that whosoever, are you giving me the scripture? So that whosoever believes in him, anybody who believes in him, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is what God wants for the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God loves the world. God loves more than a few people in one corner. His love is for the world. His love is for the people in Los Angeles. It's for the people in Missouri. It's for the people in New York. It's for the people in America. And the people in Europe. The people in Africa. Wherever there are people, God loves them.
Amen.
And he does not want them to perish.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He does not want them to perish but have eternal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because the perishing is real. Hell is real. Amen.
Amen.
Much as heaven is real, eternal life is as possible as perishing.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God does not want anybody to go to hell. But the Bible clearly teaches that people who die without a knowledge of the Lord, without their sins having been washed away, without having had an encounter with Jesus Christ, without having received Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, they will go to hell according to the Bible. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how good they look. It doesn't matter how well they live, you know, because living well in this world is not a sign that you will live well also after this life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that if somebody has a house in America, it doesn't mean he has a house in Ghana as well. Or has a house in Nigeria for that matter.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nobody will go to heaven who has not passed through the provision that God has made. And that is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And God does not want that to happen to anybody. Amen.
Amen.
Much as it is there, it's like prison. You see, the prison is there and is made for people who break the law. But its existence doesn't mean that the government wants people to go there.
Wow.
Rather, the government spends money to write down the things you shouldn't do so that you don't go there.
Wow.
Because if you do them, they can't help but send you there.
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They can't help, they don't want you to go there. The
wow.
government would rather have people on this side of life.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's also the place that they have spent money to build.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then they spend money to show us what not to do so you don't go there.
Yeah.
If they wanted you to go there, they would hide what it takes to go there.
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If the police officer's sole aim is to give you a ticket, he wouldn't put a sign there and say, "Don't turn right or red as I did this morning."
Oh. Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I didn't get a ticket by the grace of God.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if their aim was to give you a ticket, they would just hide the sign.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They just hide the sign and you wouldn't even know what you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
And as soon as you do it, they'll come up with a sign and say, "You see, something like this exists."
Oh, no.
You know. But the thing is that once you break the law, they will have no choice but to send you to that place.
Oh.
And so God, in his goodness, has acted like the government or the police officer. And he has shown us how not to go to hell. And he has given us the responsibility of telling people how not to go to hell. Because he does not want anybody to go to hell. And because anybody who ends up breaking the rules and breaking the law will end up going to hell if their sins are not forgiven through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let me read this story very quickly with you. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And from verse, have you found Luke chapter 16?
Mm-hmm.
Luke chapter 16 and from verse 19. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. You know, he pretty much had our dream life.
Hey.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
He lived well, he dressed well, lived in a nice place, ate well, sumptuously, every single day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Then, on top of all this, the dogs came and licked his sores. You know, so you can see that this Lazarus was not living well at all. He desired to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And it came to pass that the beggar died, as it happens to all people everywhere.
Wow.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because 10 out of 10 people die. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Everybody dies. Death gives everybody an equal opportunity. Now or later, it will happen to everyone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Looks like even the fact that the man was rich could not cancel his death.
Mm.
So eventually, he died.
Wow.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Then in verse 23, it says, verse 22 says, he died and was buried. And then in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you can see that a person's well-being while he's alive, you know, does not guarantee him a good place after he dies.
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That just because someone appears to be doing very well here on earth, doesn't mean he's excused from preparing for what happens after death.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are not excused from preparing for what happens after you die just because you're doing so well in life. That also means then that doing so well in life or being very busy in life or having something to do that occupies you and that seems to fill your life with so much is not an excuse for not preparing for what happens in case your life should be ended suddenly.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Many people are like people playing the game of musical chairs.
Hmm.
They play the music and they're going around the chairs. And they get so much into the music, sometimes they forget that the music is designed to stop at a point.
Hey,
you see what I'm saying? And the whole object of that game is to catch those people who enjoy the music so much that they don't secure themselves a place in case the music stops. That's the whole object of the game. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that those who do not have an eye on the chair always get kicked out of the game very quickly.
Yeah.
They get into the song, and the person is playing the song, then you see some people, I've seen some people, all kinds of styles. Some even dance very far away from the chair. And they seem to forget that it's not a dancing competition. It's not, the object of the game is not to see how well you can dance. But it is to test your ability to keep your eye on the chair and on the seat and to secure for yourself to be close enough to the chair so that when the music stops without announcement, you will not be found wanting. Because the music stops without notice. And that is how life is. You'll just be flying and you just be doing well, moving on in life. Then suddenly an announcement is made. We are beginning our descent.
Yeah.
From that point on, the plane is not going up anymore. The plane starts to go down gradually until it lands. And sometimes people get so busy going to school, busy getting jobs, busy changing jobs, busy raising children, getting married, finding beloveds, you know, raising children, switching from school to school, buying houses, you know, buying cars, changing cars, you know, relocating, you know, relocating, you know. So all kinds of things, and life gets so busy that we forget that, look, the music can stop at any time for anyone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the music has no particular pattern. You see, music generally, when it's recorded, you see that it plays a certain way. It plays a certain way. Maybe it sings the verse twice, then the chorus twice, then it repeats the chorus, and then gradually fades out. Do you see? But not so with the musical chants. You see, the musical chant, maybe the verse is just beginning, and that sometimes your favorite part of the song is just arriving. It just as it's coming, then... it just stops. That is how it is.
Wow.
Sometimes in life, you have often reached sometimes the favorite part of your life. Sometimes the best part of your life. You know, recently when that guy, the journalist, and the Ghanaian journalist who died in the UK, what is his name?
Kobna
something, yes. You know, you see, one of the reasons why his death was such a shock for people is because the music was really at the best part.
You know,
it's not that we have never seen a young person die, but it is that this particular young person seemed to be doing very well.
Yeah.
You see, the music was playing at everyone's favorite part.
Yeah.
You know, because as young people, we like to see success. Even if it's not in us, we like to see it in another person to know that it's possible.
It's possible.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's nice to see a young person doing well.
Yeah.
So you see a man in his 40s and he's married and he has two or three kids, I'm not sure how many, and he seems to be well set, working, and has everyone's dream job and is doing very well. It's like you're watching a very nice movie and the lights go off. Just as, you know, the movie is reaching its climax and the action is coming on, and the man, you know, the hero of the movie is actually coming to the room, and he's finally coming to get this guy who's been killing everybody. And then just when he opens the door, the lights go.
Oh, no.
That's what people begin. I'm kidding. The tip of the link at the wrong time. But God has not planned anybody's life to fit the length of the music. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. You may plan your life to last the length of the music. When people are dancing in a formation kind of way, they fix the dance and they set it to the music. And they plan the dance to last the duration of the song. But that's not how life goes. You see what I'm saying? Many times your life is shorter than the music. And sometimes the music is shorter than your life. But whichever way it goes for you, you will find that the music stops, and often it stops suddenly. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And God doesn't want anybody to be caught off guard. God wants it to be the case that no matter who you are, when the music stops, you are ready. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You can catch a seat in heaven. That you will not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
This is what God wants for everybody.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The rich man was eating well and was dressing well, but his soul was not ready for eternity at all. You know how shocking? He could afford everything and was eating well, dressing well. Every day was a party for him. But he was not in a good shape for heaven. For what happens when he dies. Because he probably wasn't even thinking he was the dying type. You know, he didn't think that, I mean, he's the type that dies. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He probably thinks that he's the type that lives on. I mean, he can afford good doctors. He's probably the member of the local gym. You know, popping vitamins every day.
some for his hair, some for his eyes, some for his cheeks, different vitamins, extended of his pot belly, and different vitamins. I mean, seven different vitamins, you know, he's taking every day. You see, after that, he goes for a walk every day. He runs up and down the hill on his road every day. You know, so he has totally excluded himself from those who die. Then suddenly he dies. When he dies, the Bible says, in hell. How can it be that you do so well in life and end up in hell? Why should you do so well in life? Fare sumptuously every day and be clothed in purple and fine linen and then end up in hell. It is tragic.
Very.
And God does not want that to happen to anybody. That is why he says to us, go.
Amen.
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 That's why he says to us, go. He wants us to go because he wants there to be as many opportunities as possible for people to be saved. So that there will be no one with any excuse for not being saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Same reason why the government posts the sign. They post when you get to the stoplight, they post one in front of you that says red means stop and it's up there. Then another one on the other side across the road that says red means stop. Then right where you have stopped, there's another one that says red means stop. So that after sign number one, number two, and number three, when you still cross the red light, then they can't help but send you that ticket.
Oh no.
Bonus.
Oh no.
And show you where to be.
Oh, no.
There's no reduction. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God wants the world to have as many opportunities to be saved.
Wow.
There is more than one church. In this building, there are so many churches.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So if you enter the building and you don't like the church that is over there, God gives you another chance at the church that is in the main auditorium. If you don't like that one, God sends you to this black preacher over here. Also, perhaps further on, there may be another kind of preacher. But God gives everybody some preacher so that opportunity to be saved.
Amen.
You will
Amen.
Have an opportunity to be saved.
Amen.
That's why all churches don't preach the same way.
Yeah.
That's why all churches don't look the same.
Yeah.
So that by all means, you will find your size. See, when you go to a good shop and you see a dress that looks nice, you see it comes in different sizes.
Oh, yeah. Preaching.
See, and it comes sometimes even the same style in different colors.
Uh-huh.
So that by all means, from this rack, you can find something. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Between petite and small and medium and large and extra large and extra, extra large and triple extra large. Somewhere you will find yourself on this rack. Now, if you can't find anything here, then it's nobody's fault that you're naked. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God is serious about hell.
Yes.
God is going to take you to hell if you qualify for it. If in spite of all the help, if in spite of all the provision, if in spite of all the opportunities not to be there, you insist on going there, God is going to allow you to go to hell. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why God keeps sending. He says, go, go, just keep going. Just keep going. Go over here and have a church here and have another church over here and put another church over here and put another church here and over here to put a church and put a church over here. You say, but there's a church here already. Say, yes, I know, but put another one next to it.
Easy.
Because every church is another opportunity for someone else to be saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, there's a church across the road. He says, yes, I know. Put yours across the road as well. Because I want there to be opportunities for people to be saved.
Amen.
And you understand what I'm saying? There must be ample opportunity for people to be saved. God wants people to be saved. God does not want anybody to
perish. There's no one who deserves to perish. There's no one who deserves who was born for hell. There's
nobody like that.
There's no one who deserves to go to hell. Everyone deserves to be saved. Those who end up in hell will be in hell for only one reason, which is that they chose to go to heaven in spite of the opportunity not to be in hell.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So finally, let me read Romans chapter 10 with you. Romans chapter 10. I'm just finishing my preaching. Amen.
Amen.
Have you found Romans chapter 10?
Yes.
Let's read from verse 10. It says, let's back up to verse 8. It says, what saith it? Okay, verse 8. And having rehearsed all things unto them, he sent them to Job. But that's Acts chapter 10. I want Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And from verse 8. It says, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Okay? And then verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Is it not simple enough?
Yeah.
It says, if you confess Jesus with your mouth and believe with thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Before God, all people are the same.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whether they are rich or poor or black or white, before God, all people are the same.
Amen.
And so he says that there is anybody who calls on him and who believes on him shall be saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Then verse 14. He says, how then shall people call on him in whom they have not believed? He says, how are they going to call on someone they have not believed in? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Can you see that? God is here now. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How do you call on someone in whom you have not believed? It says, how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? If they don't hear about him, how will they believe? You know? And if they don't believe, how will they call on him? You know?
Yeah.
But he's tracing it further to say that the reason why they have not heard, is not because he's not around, but that they do not have a preacher. It says, how will they hear without a preacher? Can I have an amen?
Amen?
So you see that a preacher's work is one of the most important jobs in the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, a preacher's work is to make sure that people will hear and have an opportunity to be saved.
Amen.
Are you seeing what I'm saying?
Amen.
A preacher's job is relevant to everyone.
Hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Unlike any other job, not every job is relevant to everyone.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Most jobs are relevant to those who need it. But as for salvation, it's a thing for everyone.
Amen.
And so the one whose job it is to let everyone know better sit up and do his job properly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, and then the next verse, verse 15 says, you know, how shall they preach
except they be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that is where missions begin. Missions have their part in this verse. This is where it begins. How shall they preach except they be sent? Means people have to be sent, you know, and if they are sent to a place, it means they are not originally from there.
Yeah, right.
They are not originally living there.
Yeah.
They have to come from somewhere to come to that place.
Yeah, right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. And they will pay a price to live where they are.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So how shall they preach except they be sent? So they have to be sent, and then they will become preachers. When they preach, the people will hear. When the people hear, they will believe. When they believe, they will call on him to whom they have believed.
Amen.
And when they call on him, they shall be saved. So the process of salvation begins with sending someone to begin a mission.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that is why I am glad that the Lord has sent us to this city.
Amen.
Los Angeles. Amen. And start a mission here and start a new church here and give more opportunity to more people in addition to everything else the Lord is already doing in this city.
Yeah.
With all the other churches that are here, God has sent us here also to add to the work.
Yeah.
So that the people of Los Angeles have even less of an excuse.
Amen.
Not to be saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because God has given us Hispanic churches, English churches, white churches, black churches, you know, all kinds of churches. You know, so whatever your combination, you know, churches for the old, churches for the young.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe your combination is old Hispanic.
Wow.
Then God will find you a Hispanic church that caters for older people.
That's right.
And you are supposed to get saved there.
Amen.
And no matter who you are, you
thank
need
you,
to be saved.
Thank
because
you.
The Bible says, all have sinned.
Thank you.
And falling short of the glory of God. So we're doing a very relevant thing.
Amen.
This church is needed very much.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anybody who tells you, but there are many churches in Los Angeles already. Why should you have another church? Does not understand
Doesn't
the extent
understand.
Of the need.
Hey.
They do not understand the extent of the need.
Yeah.
And they do not understand how serious it is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This rich man we read about, when he died, he started to campaign that he will not be in hell.
Mm-hmm.
He started to beg the people in heaven that they should please admit him. They should please. He said, I don't want to be in this torment. They said, we cannot do anything about it. They said, send someone then to my brothers. Please, send someone from hell to go and tell my brothers that they need to change something. He said, send a preacher, because he understood it. That how shall they preach except they be sent?
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you know, I know it. I have my brothers, but they need someone to be sent to them.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I believe that God has sent us to some people here.
Amen.
And I pray that God will give us grace to reach all of them.
Yeah.
And that we will come
yes.
knowledge.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close and let's pray. Of this mission, that God is going to bless it. God is going to use it to reach more people, more lives, more families, more sinners. More people will be reached with the message of salvation through the work of this mission in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the opportunity to be sent. We thank you for the chance to be used by you to reach the world, to reach the world, to reach the world. Because you do not want anybody to perish. It is not your will that any should perish, but that all will come to the knowledge of the truth. I pray, O God, that you use this church, use this mission.
Let this mission be a blessing to many. Let it be a blessing to backsliding children of God. Let it be a blessing to unsaved people. Let it be a blessing to people who have been consumed by the pursuit of a career, the pursuit of a future, the pursuit of family life, the pursuit of education, all the ideals of life, to the detriment of their souls and to the neglect of the salvation of their souls. I pray that this church will be a door that will be set before such people, an opportunity to walk through and to be saved, so that when their lives end, when the music stops, they will not be found wanting, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing, in Jesus' name. And as we close the service, I want to invite all of us to say a prayer of dedication to the Lord, to give our lives to Christ, and to make a promise to serve Him, and to be sure that we are saved, and that if we ourselves are to die today, we will go to heaven. We will not be found wanting. Hallelujah. So lift up your right hand with me, everybody, and I want you to say this prayer. And I want you to mean it, because it is your chance. If you've never been sure that you are saved, this will be your chance, and this is your opportunity to be saved. We just read the scripture. He says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. So say with me, Lord Jesus, I believe with my heart that you are Lord, and that God raised you from the dead. And I confess with my mouth that only Jesus can save me from my sins. So Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Let the blood that you shed on the cross wash me thoroughly and cleanse me and clean my heart and clean my life. Make me a child of God.
From today,
I want to identify with the believers.
From today,
I want to identify with the saved. From today, Lord, I want to identify with those who have eternal life. I do not want to perish. I want everlasting life. So help me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together.